fluffy bread,
classic burger buns,
and so many carbs.
Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Imagine your daughter is found stabbed 20 times, including deep wounds to the back of her neck. That's a stabbing. That's clearly not a suicide, right? The medical examiner first said homicide, then after a closed-door meeting with police said suicide. No arrest, no suspect, no grand jury either. So you fight. You ask questions, you call officials, and for 14 years, all you get is redirected. It's like the infamous being on hold forever. Hang on one second while we transfer your call. You know, we all know that music, the one that haunts you in your dreams. Anyway, first the Philly DA recuses. Then the attorney general takes over, only to kick it back to the DA's office, who then hands it off to another county. Each agency claims they can't move forward. No one wants the case. No one wants to admit it was mishandled. And all the while, your child's death certificate still says suicide. Today, we're unpacking the legal maze that has kept justice from the Greenberg family for over a decade. Former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis joining us to walk us through exactly how and why the system keeps failing, shifting, and stalling instead of acting. And Eric, I mean, this is a crazy case. I mean, this has been going on now 14 years, like we said. I mean, you've seen both the inside from a prosecution standpoint and defense. When a case like this gets handed off over and over and over again, what does that tell you as a legal insider on what the hell is going on here?
It tells me, one, that there is some information that might be exchanged behind closed doors that folks would certainly want to learn, because it's unusual. It's peculiar for those to have this sort of rotating group of prosecutors who all don't want this case. And you know, on top of that, you want to think, if you're a parent and God forbid something like this happens, the coroner is going to be impartial and they're not going to be influenced by one side or the other. They're going to do their job objectively. And there's a strong concern that didn't happen here.
There's a lot of concern of what didn't happen here in this case. DA Larry Krasner recused himself early on. That handed the case to the attorney general's office, but it sat there, and then years later it got passed back. Is there any legal justification for that? Or, I mean, how can this, something like this, just simmer in limbo forever? There's never been a suspect named. Clearly there should have been, but we won't say that person's name on the air. But it never has happened, and despite evidence that exists to it, it just keeps going from place to place, with a lot of people being very well connected. And it's all in the ether now. This is not some hidden behind closed door thing. It's out there, and it's just still like, yep, this is how we do things.
Yeah, it's very concerning, and my understanding is the family even petitioned the court to reopen the investigation because there was no movement, because nothing was happening with their deceased daughter who died 14 years ago under very suspicious circumstances. The family was trying to get a new investigation into the death, and they seemed to get some traction in the courts. And then, like you said, lo and behold, here we are at a snail's pace 14 years later, and we have really nothing to show for it on the investigative side and on the prosecution side. So a lot of eyebrows raised, a lot of folks are saying, what the heck is going on back there? Why is this thing tossed around from attorney to attorney and no one will take accountability? No one will sort of move the ball at all.
And that's just the weird thing. I mean, once Chester County declined prosecution based on insufficient evidence, the criminal side effectively just flatlined. But with the original medical examiner just last year reversing the ruling from 2025. Now, it was a verbal reversal. It didn't officially change the actual ruling itself, but they said, yeah, that shouldn't have been that. Should that reopen the door alone? I mean, everybody saw that and went, okay, look, see, even the medical examiner is finally saying this should be a suicide. If you're an investigator, you would be, oh, well, maybe we should look at this sooner. Or maybe they should have already always known that all along and just didn't want to have that be the reason of why they have to do their job. But I feel like this is far more than just any sort of laziness. This is systematic. This is targeted. There's a reason that certain holes are not being dug, and whatever is beneath that hole continues to burrow further.
You know, if a person was looking for a nefarious intent on the investigative side, they could certainly impute one reasonably based on how this thing has gone. And that's one of the tragedies in the delay in this case over the course of years is that as time goes by, witnesses die or fall off or move. Evidence becomes stale or is lost. Investigative reports sometimes can be lost. And so it becomes so much harder with each passing day to prosecute the case and try to find justice for this poor woman who couldn't have stabbed herself in the back of the neck, you know, and stabbed herself 20 times by way of suicide. No one in their right mind believes that.
I mean, and is that the problem? I mean, is that the problem? And was that the plan all along here when we look at this with 14 years of hindsight of perspective? Was this, let's get this off the rails. Let's get this to a place where, yeah, you know, evidence comes and goes or things aren't maintained or kept that could be used and people forget things. And 14 years changes memories and minds. And if you can go just long enough, the person who we're covering for it can get away with it. That kind of feels like this is, I guess the question is, why are we covering for someone? why is government allegedly covering for someone? We know that there's a fairly high-powered family where possibly the suspect comes from and very, very well connected. And maybe that's the answer right there. It's more so a favor, not necessarily, well, we really like that dude. He seems like a really nice guy or gal or whoever it might possibly be. But is this more so like a favor for the family, if you will, if we're speaking all in alleged, you know, we're completely speculating here type terms?
Yeah, I mean, if that were the case, it would make sense to kind of try to sweep things under the rug, say, oh, this was a horrible thing, and now we're going to move on, and let's not talk about it too much, and hope that dirt under that rug is not uncovered in some sense. Certainly, there are concerns of corruption. There are concerns of dereliction of duty on behalf of the government officials and questions about the ties that those folks could have to other persons of interest within the case. And I think when someone looks at the initial finding of 20 stab wounds, including to the back of the neck, and the government saying this is suicide, the alarm bells go off and they're like, wait a sec, people want to know more. And so that's why there has been a renewed interest in this case, even after more than a decade. But is it too little too late? It might be.
I mean, that's the question. I mean, dereliction of duty, sure, but that's not necessarily breaking the law. It seems like really, for the most part, everyone has operated within the legal confines of the rules of the game, for lack of a better term, and have used those rules of the game to their benefit, even when kind of stretching them out in places where, you know, one may go, that might not be ethically right, but it is legally okay. It feels like a lot of that has gone on in this case, and a lot of political motivation as well. I mean, this is a politically, I guess, somewhat risky case. I really don't quite understand why it's a politically risky case, because I think anyone who looks at this case is pretty much like, yeah, she was stabbed. I don't see how that goes from a Republican to Democrat type view. Anyone I've ever seen it. I don't know that there's any crowd that has ever looked at this case that said, yeah, it was suicide. I'm pro suicide on this one. They're not out there. So why it's politically risky, I don't know. I would think it might be more politically risky by who you might be pissing off higher up that may have some connections to the actual suspect or should be suspect in this case that has never actually been named a suspect rather than the actual public itself and those repercussions. I'm trying to figure out what makes sense here. Might be more grave than even what you would have from a public perception.
Yeah, and Tony, you make a good point in terms of, you know, folks allegedly serving their own interests in the investigation, but staying just inside those mm-hmm. Guardrails, just inside those legal parameters, but still kind of finessing that system. One illustration of that in this case is where the coroner initially determines that this was a homicide because, 20 stab wounds, the back of the neck, seems obvious. But then the police meet with the coroner and the court changes the conclusion to suicide. Now, there's nothing unlawful about the police meeting with the coroner. That happens routinely in death cases in Colorado where I practice and elsewhere. You know, if they were exerting some kind of influence to cause the coroner to testify falsely, that's one thing. But it kind of just seems like there was some conversation and maybe some assertions and that those folks kind of all got on the same page for what purpose, you know, is it some malicious purpose? That's a question on a lot of people's minds.
And incompetence quite often can masquerade as malevolence. And that's another angle to this that I'm wondering about, because again, it's all allegation. We are just speculating here. If it's not the first thing we talked about of covering for some sort of powerful family or person or whatever it may be, if we're going to go down that road, let's go down the other road. Is it covering for just a really shitty investigation of people who didn't do their job right, who didn't clear this crime scene and investigate it effectively? I mean, there's so many things that were screwed up on this case from day one with very, very bad investigative work that totally compromised the case. Is it more of that? Is it more of, we don't want to get sued? They already are being sued. But maybe originally preventatively, we don't want to be sued. We don't want to look incompetent. So let's just keep bouncing this around here over internally within our infrastructure. And no one's going to get it out there because legally we don't have to technically do anything with it. We can just say this and keep it in our camp until you can't. But they seem to have been able to keep it in their camp and not have to go where they should go with it to protect themselves. Even with the public outrage and the outcry, they still are like, nope, here's how we're keeping it. Is it a saving face effort more than it is covering up effort?
Well, without question, there were errors in the investigation that, like you said, compromised the ability to even prosecute this case early on. And on top of that, whenever you have a death case, you know, you have a young woman who has 20 stab wounds, there's pressure. There's a lot of pressure on law enforcement, on the coroner, on everyone else to sort of get this right. And perhaps if they realize, oh, we totally screwed that up, we didn't get it right at all. And now we sort of, you know, what's a good way to get that heat off of us? Well, let's ride the horse that this was a suicide. And that sort of absolves the prosecutorial arms of their duties and obligations when it comes to pursuing potential homicides, because it wasn't a homicide. And so if they wanted to cover up their own incompetence, this would be a way to do it.
We see so much of that. And I wonder how long this will remain a mystery. Or if it will forever. Her parents continue to fight the system. They continue to fight for justice for her, and we'll keep covering it. And I'm not going to play it right here, but if anybody is curious or just discovering this case and want to know a little bit more, go listen to the 911 call. Just take a little listen and tell me what you think in the comment section of this video. Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. As always, thank you for coming on and giving us your insight.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.